Welcome to the Teen Financial Freedom Podcast with co-hosts Jacob and Terry.
Teen Financial Freedom is a personal finance blog run by teens who are on a mission to equip their peers with the knowledge, resources, and understanding they need to become financially free for the rest of their lives. Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the Teen Financial Freedom Podcast. Today, I'm joined by Daniel Philpott again. We just recorded an episode with him and there was so much value in that we want to dive into another episode today. This one, we're going to be focusing on real estate specifically. It's not a topic that we've talked about before on our podcast or even our blog for that matter. I'm actually kind of new to the world of real estate. I've known about it for a while, but I'm just starting to dive into this. So I'm actually super excited for today's episode just to get to learn from Daniel myself. But I'm sure you guys are going to learn a lot of cool things as well. So Daniel, how you doing?
Doing well, Jacob. Thanks for having me back.
Yeah, for sure. So my first question for you, Daniel, is how exactly did you get involved in real estate? From my understanding, you were fairly young.
Yes. Yep. And I can kind of give you a little background. In the previous episode, we talked about the lawn business. Mm-hmm. And so I sold that lawn business for $10,000. And that'll be important later in the story. But I went off to college. I've always been interested in real estate. It was always fascinating to me. Whenever I heard that somebody owned three houses, I was like, how is that even possible? Mm-hmm. I had no idea. It intrigued me. So I started listening to a lot of podcasts. And as I'm sure a lot of your audience already does, a lot of Bigger Pockets, just tons of content through there, both on the podcast and website. And so for about 2 or 3 years in my later teens, early 20s, just a lot of consumption of knowledge. So I kind of had that baseline, but went off to college. And as I mentioned in the previous episode, I played football. So that was kind of my focus for the first 2 or 3 years. And as that started not working out, not getting as much playing time, I was like, man, I should kind of start looking to the next thing. You know, what's that going to look like? And so I was like, hey, real estate, like I want to get involved in this somehow while I'm still in college. And so I started going down the track of just auditing my personal financial situation and realized how much I was paying for the dorm at the college I went to. It was unbelievable. It was room and board, and it was over $1,000 a month. And I was thinking to myself, my goodness, like I could buy a nice 3-bed, you know, 4-bed, 2.5-bath house in the city for that. Mm-hmm. I was like, this doesn't make any sense. So I started getting creative. And at this point, I hardly had any money, basically just that $10,000 that I sold the lawn business for. Mm-hmm. And I didn't have any credit. I didn't have a solid 2 years of tax returns. I didn't have a credit card even at the time, which if I could have gone back and done it again, I definitely would have gotten one at 18. And so I listened to Bigger Pockets podcast and they said, one thing that you could do is you could call owners that have their places for rent and ask if they're willing to sell and ask if they're willing to own or finance. And so I just started doing that. I picked up the phone and just got on Craigslist actually. And any place that I could find that had, you know, pictures that didn't look professional, that weren't done by a management company, I would call them and just said, hey, my name is Daniel Philpott. I'm a college student. You know, this is what I'm after. Is there any way that you'd be interested in owner financing a place? And, you know, most everybody was no, you know, no. I went through about 40 no's and ended up calling somebody and they listened to me and they said, you know what? I won't sell you this place, but I do have another single family house that I'm about to put on the market and I would owner finance that to you. And so I was like, whoa, like it works. Yeah. And so then my thought was, now what? You know, what do I do now? So it was at that point where then I just, again, started leaning into Bigger Pockets once again. And we can kind of talk about the owner finance structure, but there's three basic ways of acquiring a rental property without just paying cash. Because, you know, who has $100,000, $200,000 just to pay cash for a property? Mm-hmm. Not many people. There's traditional financing, so that you go to a bank, sit down with the lender, you put 20% down. There's owner-occupied financing, which you can get as low as 3.5% down in an FHA or your typical 5 or 10%. And then there's owner financing. So I really couldn't qualify for the first two because, again, I didn't have all those documents the bank needed. So the third option was owner finance. That's kind of what was left. And so how that structure works is essentially you have an owner, typically they're older and they're looking to sell their property, but they don't want to incur a lot of capital gains. And so one way to do that is to spread that out over time. So essentially that owner is acting as the bank. So instead of you paying your note to the bank, you pay it to that owner. And it's for a specified time, you know, so 5 or 10 years, typically it's not longer than that. And then a specified interest rate. So my note on that property was, it was 5 years at 3.88% with $10,000 down. Okay. So as I mentioned, the $10,000 comes back in the story from the lawn business. And we can, do you have any questions so far on that?
Yes, keep going. I do have a couple of questions. I mean, before we get too deep, I'm going to come back to a couple of things you said, but before we get too deep, let's just explain to the audience a little bit about the power of real estate, because I think a lot of people just think, you know, I could rent and get by and, you know, do that whole thing and just have it be an expense for my whole life. But really, when you stop to think about it, real estate is a super powerful wealth building tool. So can you just explain a couple of like the main wealth building methods that are surrounding real estate?
Yeah, you bet. And interrupt me at any point, Jacob. I could talk about real estate all day long. I get super passionate. But So to start with, there's nothing wrong with renting. Nothing wrong with renting for a few years. But at some point, you do want to make the jump. There's been more wealth created in this country through real estate than any other industry besides creating a small business. And so the four major ways that wealth is created is cash flow. So obviously that is the amount of money you make in rent, and then you pay your expenses, you pay your mortgage, and that difference is the cash flow. So you make $1,000 in rent, $600 mortgage payment, $200 expenses, $200 cash flow. So that's what you make every single month. There's appreciation. So that is the big jump in wealth. That's your property, you know, back in 2015 was worth $100,000. And then due to development, due to population growth, due to industry, could be a wide variety of reasons. Now your property is worth $200,000. And that's just due to the market. So that's kind of the second one. The third one is tax benefits. And I've really learned this in just the past 2 years. But man, these are huge. And there's a reason why you'll see those articles like the Jeff Bezos of the world and you know, the Donald Trumps paid, you know, hardly any federal income tax on, you know, certain properties. It's because of depreciation. So you're able to essentially offset your active income through rental properties by depreciating. So a typical property depreciates over 27 and a half years. And so you take the purchase price of that property divided by 27 and a half years, and you have your, you know, $6,000 depreciation every single year or whatever that number is. To add on to that, there is the cost segregation strategy, which that's really kind of in the weeds, but there's certain items in the house, such as flooring, appliances, that you can depreciate quicker over 5 years. And so that's what actually I did with where I'm currently living, which is a duplex. It's a house hack. And I was able to use a cost segregation strategy to write off expenses quicker than 27 and a half years, thus offsetting income tax from the rental. So, and then so we talked about cash flow, appreciation, tax benefits, and that is every single month that your tenant is in your property and they're paying you and you're paying your note or your mortgage, then your value, your principal to that property is becoming more and more valuable. So if you have a mortgage for 15 years and you have a renter in there for 15 years, essentially at the end of that time, the property is free and clear. So those are the four major ways.
Gotcha. Okay. That's good to know. Okay. So now I want to ask a few more questions about your story that you were sharing. So you just got $10,000 from your lawn mowing business from selling that. And you are hearing about how you can potentially do these owner financing, you're hearing about how you could potentially do this owner financing from Bigger Pockets. And you are, I guess you just decide to start randomly cold calling people about this.
Pretty much.
Wow. That's impressive. Cause I don't think too many teens, or young people are, are that willing to do that. Like, I've never really done cold calling before, but I know there's a lot of power in that. And I mean, a whole another topic is hearing no so many times. You said like 40 times can also just be so valuable for you, because when you hear that first yes, it's just going to mean so much more. You're going to feel so much more accomplishment. But nonetheless, you found somebody.
Who and I would say that it freaked me out to do cold calling. It wasn't something that I was just, you know, excited to do. So, you know, to anybody listening that is, you know, knows they need to do cold calling in order to get that first deal or wholesale, just do it. You know, it's hard for everybody. It's not natural. So that's one of the things you just got to do.
Okay. Okay. So you finally find somebody and you're basically just pitching to them like, what, I'm a young college student and I'm interested in getting into real estate. Like why on earth did they say yes?
That's a great question. And like you said, that was basically my pitch. I have no money, no credit. I'm a college student. I'm eager and willing to work and to learn. I have a little tiny bit of money for down payment, but that's about it. So as I was saying, besides the whole idea and the fact of, hey, you know, I've been in this business for 40 years and I want to teach a young person, which there definitely was some of that. Mm-hmm. Somebody would do owner financing if they want to spread out their capital gains, or they have a property that maybe has been giving them trouble, or they just don't want to worry about it anymore. They don't want to worry about the management, the tenants, anything. And so if they're making, say, $600 or $700 in rent every single month, if they sold it to me, then I would be paying them $600, $700, maybe $800 in a mortgage. So eventually, yes, they would be bought out of that property. But for the next 5 or 10 years, they don't have any headaches. They just have money hitting their mailbox. And those owners that are exiting the real estate game are the people that would be interested in doing that.
Okay. Okay. That's good to know. And then you said it's kind of a shorter note in a sense, where you said 5 to 10 years, and then the interest rate, it sounded to be like pretty comparable to the rest of it. I think you said 3.88%. So, I mean, because that was such a short-term deal, does that like massively increase your monthly payment that you owe to him? I mean, versus like a traditional 30-year loan?
Sure. Yes, it does in theory. But what we haven't talked about is the purchase price on that house was $28,000.
Oh, okay. So
it's kind of a shocking figure. But the area that we were buying, it was a 100-year-old house. It was a single family, 3-bed, 1-bath, and it needed to work. And so that is something else I would really suggest to anybody that's young and hungry. There are cheap houses out there. Now definitely get your inspections, make sure it's a solid house. But there's a lot of houses out there that need just 2 months of your sweat equity. They need your work. And if you're willing to put in $5,000 or $10,000 into the house and some really hard work and some YouTube videos and some bigger pockets in your ear, then you can really increase the value.
Mm, yeah, for sure. Okay. That makes a bit more sense now, but, okay. So you get this first house, and then where do you go from there in terms of your real estate, career in a sense?
Sure. So from there, it's interesting that we're talking now, because that property that we've been talking about is currently under contract to be sold for $70,000.
Wow.
So
okay.
That is the power of real estate right there. Again, I'm happy to share all these numbers, but I bought it for $28,000 with $10,000 down. Again, my $10,000 from the lawn business. And so my note was $18,000. 5 years, 3.88%. If you do the math on that, about $330 a month.
Oh, okay.
I was making in rent $665. So my rent was essentially double my mortgage. So I was cash flowing about $330 every single month. So it was a strong financial position. But how I went from that property to the next property, and I guess I make another comment on that. To anybody that's looking to get into real estate, to start off with, you definitely want to focus on cash flow, because that'll just make your life so much easier. If you have a property that is being paid off every single month and you get your, you know, $100, $200, $500 extra every month, when inevitably there's a plumbing problem or something goes wrong with the roof or there's some kind of issue, you'll have a bank account that just keeps building month after month. And you can easily just take care of that repair as opposed to, you know, that property costing you money every month. And then a repair on top of that could be devastating. Mm-hmm. So definitely keep reserves. But from there, I held that property. So coming up on 3 years. Whenever I moved, I got a job down at Walmart Corporate in Northwest Arkansas. So that was my first experience house hacking. So I bought a duplex. It was dated. In fact, I made a video on my YouTube channel about that. I completely remodeled it myself, just looking up YouTube videos. I did it on a budget and added a lot of value to this place too. And I've been here now for about 2 years.
Okay. And what are the numbers on this? Because I think you shared these numbers in your YouTube video that I watched, and it sounded pretty awesome to me. What are those numbers like?
Yeah, absolutely. So a little context on it. It's a 2-bed, 2-bath, 1200 square foot with a garage on either side. And I bought it for $190,000 and I was all in for $20,000 for my remodel cost. So bringing my base to $210,000. And then it was recently appraised at $250,000. So there's a 40,000 equity bump just from doing the remodel.
Yeah.
And that remodel included HVAC, hot water heater, flooring. So stuff that'll really make the unit, you know, good to go for the next 20 to 30 years.
Okay. So essentially, I mean, just in appreciation from your remodel alone, you got $40,000. And how long did that remodel take you?
So I took quite a while on it. I did 8 months. The other side of the duplex was tenanted, which paid my mortgage. So essentially I had a property for free, which was awesome because that just gave me the opportunity to kind of take my time. And I did that intentionally because I just really wanted to learn how to do everything right and well. So if I did the same exact remodel now, I could probably knock it out in honestly 30 to 45 days, but I took 8 months because I did every single thing myself. And I really took my time.
Yeah. But I mean, still $40,000 in 8 months, like that's a good chunk of change right there. So that's awesome. Can you explain, house hacking? Like this is the first time that our audience has heard this. So can you explain that to them?
Yeah. So it is a super powerful tool. I recommend anybody that's young to look into house hacking, but it's essentially, it's a real estate strategy where you buy a property and you either rent out bedrooms in that property, or you buy a small multifamily unit, either a duplex, triplex, or fourplex. You live in one of the units and you rent out the other units. And the whole idea is that the rental income that you make, either from the bedrooms or from the other units, offsets your mortgage. So every single month, you're living there either for free or you're making money to live there. And what's super powerful is that once you get into that property and you have your mortgage covered, whenever you move out of that property and you fill in a tenant, then your cash flow just goes through the roof because you already had your mortgage covered. And now anything on top of that is just gravy. So super, super powerful strategy to use. And I mean, I recommend it all day long.
Yeah. I mean, the housing expense, for the average American is the largest expense. I think it usually equates to like around a third of people's income. I mean, so if you can cut that out and live for free, you're basically, I mean, aside from, you know, making money from cash flow and equity and appreciation and tax benefits, you're also, I mean, saving so much more of your own income. And you could go and invest that in more real estate, into stocks, whatever. So I think it's just a super, super powerful wealth building method. So definitely check that out if you're interested in that. Lastly, Daniel, I just kind of want to hear about your current portfolio, where it stands, and then kind of your goals for the future and where you want to take it.
Sure. So currently have 3 rental properties at the moment, and that includes the duplex house hack. So that other property that we were talking about, the single family home, it is under contract and hopefully that'll close next month. And again, just to reiterate the power of real estate, even in a short amount of time, So I mentioned I bought that property for $28,000. But what we didn't talk about is that tenant had paid off $20,000 of that.
Oh, wow.
So I only owe $8,000 now on that property, and we've got it under contract for $70,000. So obviously you'll have commissions, taxes, fees, closing costs, but basically out of that transaction, I'll net between $50,000 and $60,000.
Jeez.
Now that's unbelievable to me. Yeah. I mean, that I've never seen that much money in my life. Like, that's life-changing money.
Yeah.
And I did that. I got into that when I had no money, no credit, not a lot of knowledge, but I just took action. Mm. So I just encourage all the listeners to, man, just take action, because who knows what that'll lead to in 2, 3, 4 years. And I'm seeing the fruit of that now, 3 years later. That's $50,000, $60,000. Yeah. That's amazing. That's crazy. I mean, a lot of people will work a year or two of their life for $50,000 or $60,000. And I did that passively. So sorry, I get passionate about that. And so to answer your question though, once we sell that unit, we are taking maybe somewhat of an unconventional approach these days. A lot of people will say leverage, 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 buy as much as you can, put as little money down as possible. We're going to take that $50,000 gain and we're going to pay off all of our debt. We're going to get completely debt free. So we're going to get revolve student loans, car payments, just everything completely debt free. And yes, technically, if we invested that at 12%, you know, student loan interest rate at 5%, mm-hmm. we'd probably come out on top. But there really is something to the emotional aspect of just being debt free. So that's what we're going to do to start with. And after that, we'll still have probably 10 to 15,000 left over. And from there, we're going to do another house hack. So we're going to put another 5% down on probably a $200,000 duplex, move into that, and rent out our current unit. So at that point, we'll have about $1,200 passive per month. And the goal is to get that up to 5,000 passive per month as quickly as possible. And the goal is 2 years.
Okay. Wow. Okay. So you're talking about making, I think you said in your document here, about 60 grand a year in passive income within 2 years from now.
Yep. Absolutely.
That's awesome. That's so crazy.
I just add one more thing, Jacob, how doable that is. If you think about it, right now, if you just bought 5 duplexes, that would equate to $60,000 passive per year. So if you think about it, the duplex we're currently in, both sides at market value rent for about $1,000 a month. The mortgage is $1,000. So basically you're netting roughly $1,000 per duplex. So think about that. If you're able to owner occupy one and then you move into another, do that a few more times. 5 duplexes, each one cash flows $1,000. So there's 5,000 a month. 5,000 times 12, that's $60,000. Yeah. So by just moving 5 times or 4 times technically, you could have passive income of $60,000, which is a really nice salary. And not only that, but that's just your cash flow. That when you pay that thing off, I mean, that's double. Yeah. I mean, you're over $100,000 already, plus your tax benefits, plus your appreciation. Those duplexes are going to be worth $300,000 instead of $200,000. So it makes so much sense. And it's so, so powerful. Yeah,
that is so crazy. All right. Do you have anything else you'd like to add, or is that pretty much it?
And that's pretty much it. I would just encourage all the listeners to take action. Again, if my 21-year-old self that was cold calling could see where my 24-year-old self is, I would just be on the phone all day long. It's just so worth it. And again, I have not quote unquote made it or anything like that. I have a long ways to go. I have big goals to accomplish, but just the idea that as an 18-year-old, 19-year-old, 20-year-old, you can affect your future financial position. That's really, really neat, especially sometimes when people feel like they can't because they don't have much money or credit. You definitely can. So I would just encourage you guys, keep pushing. And real estate in the long run is a powerful wealth building tool. So lean into it.
Yeah, that's awesome. Guys, make sure you go check out Daniel's YouTube channel. I've watched all of his videos he has on there so far, and he is providing so much value over there. He explains these numbers even in more depth over there. And so just go check that out. I think you're trying to post once a week. Is that right?
Yep, that's
okay.
Cool.
Yeah, okay. So go over there, check him out on YouTube, Daniel Philpott. And then Daniel, do you want to give him or give our audience any other methods they can use to contact you or learn more about you?
Yeah, absolutely. Feel free to follow me on Instagram. It's just Daniel R. Philpott. And feel free to DM me. Always happy to answer any questions that you might have. But man, so passionate about real estate, about strengthening your financial position early. Because if you get that right, I mean, it just opens up a lot of opportunities down the road. So, Jacob, I really appreciate it, man. Thanks for having me. And again, if any of your audience wants to reach out, YouTube and Instagram are probably the best ways to do that. And happy to connect.
All righty. Thank you very much, Daniel.
Thank you for listening to the Teen Financial Freedom Podcast.
We would greatly appreciate it if you could subscribe, leave a review, and share this with someone who needs it.